Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Christine Blosdale, the expert authority coach. A welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you so very much, Tara. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And I'm really excited to talk about imposter syndrome for leaders today. But before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your leadership story?
Yes, absolutely. So, I was 20 years in broadcast journalism as a radio host and producer, started off as a producer. And so for those 20 years, I was really pretty much behind the mic and nobody saw me. It was how I liked it. And at this particular radio station, I remember I had a very wonderful opportunity where I had to actually step into a leadership role. And I was like, wait a second. No, I'd like to be behind the scenes. I don't want to necessarily draw attention to myself. And it was a necessity. Basically, they were needing a general manager of the radio station. And it's a large radio station in Los Angeles, very well-known one. And so I said, I don't know if I'm prepared for this. And I said, why did you pick me? Because I was happy being behind the mic. And they said, because we walked around and we asked everyone, who do you trust?
Ah.
And my heart just went, are you really? And they said, yeah, they said, overwhelmingly, your name came up as somebody that they trust. And we need somebody who we can trust to hold the station steady for a while. Now, originally, it was supposed to be just for a couple weeks. It ended up being a year, but stepping into it, for a split second, I almost had that imposter syndrome. I'm like, I don't know the first thing about being the general manager of a radio station. I'm fine with my skill set, but this is, you're dealing with volunteers and technicians and, and talent, your wonderful hosts and things like that. So you've got all these creatives and exciting people, but it's kind of like wrangling cats. And so I said, this is a great opportunity for me to grow and for me also to expand, to tap into that leadership model. And I loved every minute of it because I got to show the way, not just say the way.
And
that means walking around, and this can be applicable to anybody in any profession, really. Mm-hmm. But, it would be a simple thing of just walking around the radio station. And if I saw like a piece of paper wadded up and on the floor, I bent down and pick it up and threw it in the trash. Or if I went into the kitchen and, companies, the kitchens are always the place where you can find out, about the place, right?
Yes, you can.
And I'd go in there and there'd be all these dirty coffee cups in the sink, or stuff on the crumbs on the counter. And so I would just go in and I would just clean it up. I would not sit there and say, well, I'll wait till the cleaning people come tonight. It was a thing of, if something needs to be done and I can do it, I'll do it. And that had a really great effect. Just that simple thing had a really great effect, because then other people that worked, that were under my tutelage, so to speak, they knew that it was sort of their responsibility to also care and manage the place as well. And it was really about doing that collaboration. I was not a manager from a, I'm going to dictate what you do. This is the highway, my way or the highway. It was really a collaboration, because I knew they were all experts in their own field and in their own departments. And I needed to trust their wisdom and their technologies and their skill sets, and basically work with them as opposed to sort of, dictating, this is what you're going to do. And I had a great time. I absolutely loved it. I've since then transferred to the wonderful world of coaching and teaching people how to expand their expert authority, how to create tools in order to establish their expert authority, work on their branding, their social media, all that great stuff. And I love it because I have clients all around the world and it's the best feeling. I love it.
Yeah, just so our audience knows, Christine is actually in Australia and I'm in Canada. I love this. It's a diversity of the world. I just love it.
Yes.
And I have to say, I love how you, what I call lead by positive example, leading that way and picking up the garbage or cleaning up the lunchroom, stuff like that is what we also did in our organization. And it works beautifully. You have a nice, clean place. People want to be, they're comfortable, right? They want to come to work because they know it's cleaner. It's not a messy place. It's not dictating, you know, do this, do that, and don't do as I say. You know what I mean? So love that you did that.
When you do that, you're putting into the people that rely on you, right, to hold the fort down and to make sure, make good decisions. You're also saying that if something needs to be done, it doesn't have to even be something about cleaning up, but if it's something that needs to be done where, you know, at the radio station, let's say there was somebody, a guest that was at the back door, you know, ringing the door to get in, and it would be, I could ask somebody at that point too, hey, do you mind going and letting the guest in? Mm-hmm. It could be someone who that's not their job, right? They're doing something else. They're in the advertising department, or they're working on a show themselves or a producer. That kind of attitude of, sure, I'll help you out. I've got a second. I can do that. And not saying, well, that's not part of my job, but it's what needs to be happening. Mm-hmm. It's a great team builder as well, because then you can rely on the people around you to help you if you do get stuck or if you do need assistance. And that's what we want. We want that ability to go, hey, do you mind helping me out here? I have a question, or I need to do this and I really need your assistance. And it just creates a better work environment.
Collaboration is the way it is, right? I love it. Yeah. All right. So let's get to our topic today, which is imposter syndrome. And a lot of people, when they think about that, they think about personal lives, but not so much about their leadership and possibly having imposter syndrome as a leader. So obviously there's parts of this, why this topic resonates with you, because you felt it a little bit before taking on the leadership role. Is there any other reasons why this topic's important for you?
Oh, it is. And you know, it's all across the spectrum. I do have some male clients who experience it, but predominantly most of my clients are women. They're solopreneurs, or they're authors or coaches, life coaches or business coaches. And majority of them have had a little bit or a lot of that imposter syndrome. And all that is the ego. It's the subconscious mind basically saying, who are you to think that you can talk about this subject or write about this subject? Or who are you to think that you could run this company? You know, those type of things. And a lot of times those stories are things that happened to us a long time ago. They planted a little seed and we never dug up that plant and got rid of it or pulled the weed. We just sort of suppressed it. And it doesn't matter how many degrees you have, doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, doesn't matter what your titles are. If you still have that weed growing, you know, in the back of your head, you could find yourself with a lot of responsibility in a place in life where those thoughts, those stories keep coming up. And it might've been just somebody that said something to you in the playground and stuck with you. It could be a parent, you know, anyone who's an authority figure, if it's somebody that you respect or you look up to, and they said something to you and they said, you know, who do you think you are, buddy? Or, you know, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're this, you're that. Mm-hmm. That is so, you know, it can be so life altering. And we don't show up. We don't write that book. We don't go and speak. We don't reach out to people. We don't post on social media because we have that weed growing, right? So my thing is, when I work with people, is I like to go with the, you know, weed whacker.
I like that analogy.
we go in and we don't do, it's not a therapy session. We don't go in and just, you know, I don't do psychoanalysis, but we allude to the fact that that's probably been there for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It's just the stress of the situation that brings it up. And I like to focus on the audience, right? I say to my clients dealing with imposter syndrome, instead of focus, it's not about you. Instead of focusing about you and worrying about what people think of you, what will they say? What are they going to think about, you know, who I am? They're going to judge me. That's the biggest fear, right? Because mm-hmm. we don't want to get kicked off the island. It's the whole prehistoric thing, getting kicked out of the cave. We yeah. want to stay with our tribe. And if we get kicked out of the cave, we're going to be eaten by a dinosaur. So that's put into our DNA. So what I'll say is, it's not about you. It's about the people you serve. So if you focus on the people that you're trying to help, if you're a coach, you say you want to help people lose weight or succeed in business, then focus on them and not you and not how you're perceived. And if you don't show up, you got to think about the fact that if you don't show up as that leader, as that speaker, as that author, as that coach, think about all of the missed opportunities for the people that you want to serve mm-hmm. that they're not going to get. So think about those customers that are not going to get the solution to the problem that they have, or your readers if you're an author, or the audience if you're a speaker. So I really try, and a lot of my clients, I get them to create a podcast to help for their marketing. And that's the biggest hurdle, is that imposter syndrome. They're like, yeah. What am I going to talk about? And who's going to want to listen to me? And yeah. I say, if I'm your audience, I want to listen to you, but you got to tell me what it is that I want to hear. You
know? Yeah. You got to solving a problem, right? I want to come back to something you said earlier, before we go into maybe some of the common imposters that happen with leaders, but you said that sometimes we don't realize it's happening. And I have to tell you, in talking with a lot of my clients as well, it's so true. You know, a lot of them are, you know, that fear or that limiting belief or that imposter around, I can't do this, or I can't lead this team, or I just can't manage this employee. And it really holds them back. So I like the fact that you brought that up, because I think it's really important that sometimes we have to find the way to recognize that we're doing that in the first place. So And so that brings me to, you know, what are some of those common imposters leaders may have that maybe we can start to recognize, some of the common ones maybe you've heard of?
Well, I think it starts off with that little voice that makes you feel uncomfortable. Or when you think about showing up to the job site, you know, on Monday morning, you get a little queasy in your stomach and you're like, I don't even know if I can handle this today. I think listening to that is really important, but also taking a step back or step away. There's a little experiment that I do whenever I feel that I'm doing the spiral, and the spiral can be, you know, sliding into that imposter syndrome feeling, or it can be, my boyfriend didn't return the text, right? I sent a text and he didn't reply in like 5.2 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. And so the spiral is that thing where all those negative thoughts happen. And that's the, you know, I'm not qualified enough. I didn't go to school for this particular thing. I don't have enough referrals or bank, you know, and I say bank, I say experience. I don't have enough to do this. So that spiral, it's like when you unplug the bathtub and all the water goes down. It's really hard to stop that momentum, especially once you start going down. It keeps going and keeps going. So a little trick that I do is that I imagine myself sort of separating and stepping aside and looking at the situation as a non-interested party. In other words, right? Because we get so invested and we're like, but this is how I feel and my emotions. And so if you're able to just sort of step aside, there's people that have had, you know, car accidents or near death experiences, and they've experienced this thing naturally where they can see themselves getting ready. You know, the accident is happening and they sort of just move aside and they view it and they look at it like, you know, a viewer. They're like, this is interesting. This is happening. Okay. So when you do sort of step aside or step away, and look at it, then you can actually look at what that is. And it could be, you know what, I was with that text message thing. You know what, I felt abandoned when I was a kid because my parents got divorced and my mom never fought for me, you know, to be with her or whatever those situations are. A lot of times it is something that has happened many, many moons ago. That is just, it's like having a heavily dug in groove.
And that
it's easy for the water to go right into that groove because it's been so dug in. Mm-hmm. So to rewrite that is what we want to try and do. And we want to actually look at the positives of it. So I always try and say, you know, let's look at the opportunities here. What are those golden opportunities? And even if you get bad news, or if you get news that your services are no longer required here, you know, how do we look at that? Do we look at it as a negative and as rejection? Or do we look at it as, you know what, maybe it's universe, God, not to get woo-woo, but maybe, maybe I'm not supposed to be here right now. Maybe I'm supposed to do something else or be somewhere else. And so it's really having that mindset. It's a lot of it is mindset.
It's a shift for sure. And it's like you said, it's the I don't or I can't that really do stop us. So I can't manage this person. Well, if you look at it differently, you can manage that person. Maybe it requires training. Maybe it requires whatever, you know, somebody to guide you or mentor you through it. The I don'ts and I can'ts can change. And so one thing that I talk about a lot is people always say, you know, I will never have. And I always say, just add the word yet. It's a small mindset shift, right? So, you know, I don't have enough sales to have another salesperson. Well, how about we don't have enough sales yet? Let's figure out how to grow that so we can get another salesperson. Because yet, I mean, it's like that, you're talking mindset shift, right? That tiny little wee word for me was eye-opening, right?
Everything that you think is a mantra, but everything that you speak is like a major mantra, right? It is, you're putting it into action. You're putting it into the words. I think the, they call it spelling, you know, and it's in many ways, it's casting a spell. So that's why also in any sort of leadership position, like myself, I was very, very careful what I said and how I said it. Okay. Because words will stick. And even if we're in a professional environment and we're around adults and everybody, you know, everybody's got their specialties and their expertise and they're doing what they're doing, words can inspire, can motivate, but they can also devastate. And so we need to be really, really careful with the words that we use. And so that's why it's great that you incorporate the yet, right? Because and here's the thing too. We don't have to have all the answers. As a leader, you don't have to have all the answers.
No.
As a matter of fact, it's really refreshing when somebody comes and says, you know what? I don't have all the answers. And maybe as a collective, maybe as a group here, maybe we can talk about ways that we can get there. So taking that, we don't have enough sales yet, even that model, we don't have enough sales to bring somebody else on. We don't have enough sales yet to bring somebody on. Then maybe the next step is let's figure out what we can do in order to bring that new salesperson on. What are some things that we can do, some steps that we can take? Because man, if we were able to do that, we can have this, that, and the other, right? Mm-hmm. So you might have somebody on your team who is not in a management position. They might be doing something, you know, they might be opening the mail in the, you know, mail room, and they have the answer. They've got the answer.
Absolutely.
But because that person works in the mail room, a lot of people in that organization might go, they don't know. They can't help. No, you never know. You never know.
I agree 100%. You don't know what they've done before. Maybe they have family that is a sales manager and talks to them. And maybe they just have a great brainstorming idea because they're creative.
Exactly.
You're 100% right. You don't know. And that's where the collaboration that you started talking at the beginning comes in. It's great to do that collaborative type discussions or brainstorming, whatever, to help you overcome some of these limiting beliefs and imposter syndromes that we have as leaders and in business. So love that you brought that up, because I am all for that.
Well, and also you might, your team may not even have the answer, but by doing that experiment, by doing that, you might all of a sudden go, oh my gosh, it's right in my face. Why didn't I see that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about the, it helps you as well. And when it comes to also really respecting other people's wisdom, experience, I remember something that my mom said to me a long time ago, and I've always held this. I grew up in Los Angeles, and so it was a very international city, right? So we had mm-hmm. all kinds of different people from all over the world. And my mother always, she said, you know, always treat people with respect, because you don't know who they are. You don't know where they came from. You don't know what they've experienced. And so I've always felt that way. Even if I see someone, like, you know, on the corner asking for a dollar, right? Mm-hmm. So whoever it is that I've encountered. And she was saying, that guy that is picking up the trash, that's coming by and picking up the trash, you know, the garbage guy, he might in 10 years, 20 years time be your surgeon who's opening up your heart.
Yeah, absolutely possible.
And I was like, you were right. And you don't want to meet that person when you're going in for surgery 20 years later and going, oh, hi, I'm the one that treated you like, you know, doo-doo, right? So you never know. And I think that's such a great philosophy. If you hold that, if you hold that for people that you're interacting with in life, personal and business, mm-hmm. I think it can give you so many great rewards.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I want to come to now, we've started to recognize some of our imposter syndrome, maybe as leaders. And, you know, when we start recognizing these things and we start building upon how we can help ourselves move forward, we start to become more confident. So what are some ways, besides obviously the reframing is a big one, and maybe even having those creative group brainstorms, are there ways that leaders can begin to feel more confident once those imposters are starting to be recognized in ourselves?
Yeah, I like to do inventory, and I do this with clients in general, because when they're trying to build their expert authority, you know, as the person that people will go to or to get, you know, booked on shows or to be quoted in magazines, what we do is we cherry pick the cream of the crop, and we mm-hmm. start off with something very simple, and you can do this as well. Doesn't matter what field you're in, you can do this. And it's asking yourself a few questions. I have a quiz on my website that people can check out. It's called expertauthorityquiz.com is the quiz, but there are 10 questions that you should be asking yourself anyway. Okay. And one of them is that if you were to Google yourself right now, what would show up?
Yeah.
Positive stuff, right?
Here's hoping.
scandalous things, you know, if you were to Google yourself. Okay. So what we do is we actually, like, I'll take them through and create an EPK or a media kit. And basically that's like a glorified, really, really fascinating business card. And that mm-hmm. media kit is something that we put together in Canva, and we basically come up with what's your expertise? What's your main one thing, right? Whatever that is. I've got one client who's, you know, an ADHD specialist. I've got another one who's, this woman is 82 years old, and she was the first Australian hot air balloonist. So we've got her as the, you know, the adventurer, you know, what is your title, so to speak? Mm-hmm. And then we list all of the great accomplishments that you've had. Now, we're not talking about, okay, I graduated from UCLA with, you know, whatever. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the things that you've done that actually have helped a business grow, that have helped a community thrive, that are newsworthy type things. Remember, I come from a journalism background. So I'm always mm-hmm. thinking, what's the story? What's the interesting thing? And then we pick apart what all those things that you've, you know, that you've done. And then we pick apart the juiciest parts that we can hang our hats on. In other words, say, this is something. So on my media kit, it says, you know, 5 number one best-selling books on the subject of podcasting and social media. That immediately, even though that took me quite some time to do, I know that that's an accomplishment that I'm proud of. And I could talk about it, you know, easily. So we do that with our leaders. We want to go through the different things that they've accomplished. And then you always, you have that, you can print it up and you can refer to it. I also say, get a really good headshot.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what your physical shape is. Get a good headshot. Get a go to a professional photographer. Get a good headshot and create that media kit. So when you look at it, it's your image, and it's your title, and it's your accomplishments that you can refer to. So when you have that imposter syndrome, when you have that moment where you're like, oh God, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. Then you can pull out that.
Oh, I just, she's showing us hers right now. I know our audience can't see it, but I love it.
You pull out that media kit and you go, oh, I forgot. I've done this. I've done that. Heck, I've accomplished all these things. I've done some stuff. This, and it just puts it in black and white. It puts it in a physical form for you. It could be a PDF. You can look at it that way. But if you print it, you actually have it. And it's not an ego thing. It's nothing about that. It's just about reminding yourself how freaking amazing you are. And sometimes we need to be reminded, you know, we've accomplished a lot in life. If you're here, you know what I'm saying?
A lot, right? Yeah.
We've survived COVID. We've survived the economy. We've survived, you know, the Diddy trial, whatever. We've survived a lot. And so it's important to just be reminded of that.
I really love that, to bring up confidence, because when we do start to feel that our confidence is lacking, when we can look at what those accomplishments were, and I love, by the way, that you said beyond titles, because we all have titles. We all have, maybe some people have a million letters after their name, but they mean nothing. What actually means something is what you've done and you've accomplished and what you're doing and moving forward. So it's the pride. I think that that poster board or that piece of paper or that Canva, whatever it is that you're using, can really remind you of what, like you said, the accomplishments, and you can feel proud of what you did and build the confidence just from that alone. I think that's a great exercise for our listeners, as well as that, like a bit of a self-reflection. What have I done beyond titles? Because titles mean nothing.
Beyond the titles, because you could be, you know, vice president of communications for a large company, but what is it that you do?
Exactly. Yes.
Right. What is it that you do? And you might change that to, you know, I communicate grand visions to a large audience about a really important service or product or whatever, or I help people, you know, I think there was someone in the health profession that I knew who had the thing where it's like their name and they had, you know, RN, ST, Pi, 3, all these different things. And she was like, you know what? She goes, I prefer to say that I helped keep 450 people alive with whatever that was that she was doing. And I love that. I'm like, you're a lifesaver. Okay. That's kind of important, right?
Yeah. If that doesn't build confidence, when you think about things like that, what does, right? So I that's a really great example for everybody to understand. Your titles and your letters, they're important to a lot of people. Don't get us wrong here, but they aren't who you are.
Right. Right.
They're the letters after your name, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So I have to ask you, what is that, those key elements that we should remember while we're trying to build our confidence? Just a couple as we wrap up today that our leaders can, you know, we obviously have this one as a great tool. And thank you for letting us know where the quiz is as well. But is there any other key elements that we should consider when we're trying to overcome our imposters and build our confidence?
I find that what works well for myself and for my clients is is creation, creativity. Mm-hmm. Within creation or creativity, and when I talk about that, I'm not just saying, you know, getting a canvas and, you know, painting. That's yeah. great. That's great. And for me, I do abstract painting. I'm not a professional painter. I don't sell my paintings. It's more like therapy, right? I love doing it. But what I encourage people to do is to create something that they can pour themselves into. That's why so many of my clients, I say, you need to write that book. And mm-hmm. when I say you need to write that book, usually the imposter comes in and they goes, I can't write a book. I'm not Tom Clancy. I don't have, you know, time to write a 700 page book. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, a book can be 50 pages.
Yeah. Can be small.
It can be small. And as a matter of fact, for your first one, start small and start with something that you are an expert at. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt how to feed a family of five for $20 a day, that's a best-selling book. Mm-hmm. If you're in a leadership position and you know some of the most popular books are leadership, business, if you're someone who can inspire your team by just having a few words, or you have a special system that you use, or a special program that you use, or you use pantomime, whatever, then you can write that book. And it's relatively easy to actually make it become a bestseller. Okay. There's a little system of steps, but
that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. Yeah. But get it done. And yeah. now with all these tools that we have, these, you can self-publish it in a heartbeat. If you wanted to, you can make it a Kindle. So you can, you know, offer it to people for 99 cents or as a free gift. Mm-hmm. You have all these abilities, but the reason why I say people need to, and especially leadership, write that book or create that podcast, right, is mm-hmm. it's establishing you as an expert. Every single time you do one of those tasks, creating, you know, writing, publishing, getting feedback, getting reviews, it's just that circle that's saying you're doing it right. You're doing it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Keep going. And that podcast, you know, people will go, well, you know, there's so many podcasts. Or again, there's that imposter thing, right? There's so many podcasts now. Who's going to listen to my show? You never know. I'll give you one quick story. Why you never know. Before I worked in radio, I worked for America Online, and I was mm-hmm. This is when they had journalists. This is when they actually had columnists before Time Warner bought them out. So I wrote a column, and it was a daily column in the Entertainment Channel. The Entertainment Channel and AOL was the most popular, of course. And it was like a kind of a gossipy Hollywood type column. And I wrote it through a cartoon character. And the character was called Beatbox Betty, because nobody cares about Christine Blasdale, but Beatbox Betty, she was exciting, like a head of hopper. She was like, she had a martini in her hand, anatomically incorrect drawn character. Okay. But I got to go to premieres, and I got to go and interview all these amazing, you know, superstars and directors. And so I was writing this column, and I wrote it in a style. This is way before Shrek came out, but I wrote it in a style that's Shrek-like. That means that a kid could read it and go, that's cool. Or an 80-year-old could read it and go, oh, you know, naughty, naughty. That's I get that. Yeah. So it's writing in a style that a lot of people can enjoy. Mm-hmm. I was at dinner one night, and my friend who was sitting with me said, oh my gosh, look who's at the table next to us. It's Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner and their partners. And I looked over and I went, oh my gosh, I love Lily Tomlin. And I know Jane Wagner. Jane Wagner's really like a big brain behind the whole Lily Tomlin thing. She's a writer. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And I was like, oh my gosh. And my friends, go say hi. And I said, I am not going to be that person who interrupts Lily Tomlin during dinner and says, you know, be a fan. I'm not going to be that fangirl. And my friend's like, listen, is a reason why they're there. You got to go up and say hi. So I said, okay, fine. So I get up and I walk over there very sheepishly. Hi, Lily, Jane, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. My apologies, but I just want to say, I just think you're so funny and so amazing. And just thank you for the work that you do. And I was just going to slink away.
Right.
And they look up at me mid bite. And they go, and they go, wait a second. They go, well, thank you. Okay. But who are you? And immediately out of my mouth, instead of saying Christine Blosdale, no one does that, I said, well, my name's Christine, but I also go by Beatbox Betty. They put their forks down. They looked at each other. They looked at me, and they go, and I think it was Jane who said to Lily, oh my God, it's Beatbox Betty. Now, at that point, I thought they were punking me. I was looking for a camera. I was like, "What are they going to be the bully? Are they going to be mean to me?" And they said, and Lily said, oh my God, we read your column every day. We think you're so funny. She said that. She said, we think you're so funny. And I just went, oh my God. What that moral of the story is, you never know who's listening to your podcast, watching your videos, reading your books, reading your articles. You never know. So put out every piece of content, every book that you write, every speech that you make, every email that you write, put it out with the idea that you don't have to say Lily Tomlin is going to receive it, but whoever it is that you admire, whoever it is that you respect or you think is incredible, imagine that person being in the audience and receiving your content or receiving your speech or receiving your email. And it changes. It really does. It changes the quality that you put out there. Yeah.
I love that. And now I'm like, who's listening to my podcast out there, right? I mean, there's maybe someone famous. You never know, right?
You never
know. You just don't know. Yeah. So leaders, let's start to put those imposters behind us. We're always going to have them. Let's be honest. When you crush one, the next one appears. That's okay. That's growth, right? And let's build our confidence. And you just never know. I like that. That's a great way to end the show. You just don't know. Thank you so much for an amazing conversation. I think we could keep talking forever. So if our listeners had some interest in learning more about what you do, and maybe if there's information about the quiz again, can you share where they can find you and where they can find that information?
Absolutely. So they can, and I'm happy to have a free consultation with anybody who's interested in creating some content or creating a book or creating a podcast. I'd be happy to talk to them about their expert authority. They can go to expertauthoritycoach.com and they can see all the stuff that I've got, the podcast and the books and all that great stuff. But if they want to take the quiz, it's expertauthoritycoiz.com. So one's coach.com, one's quiz. But they can actually access the quiz at my website, which is expertauthoritycoach.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And for the resource as well. Appreciate you coming on the show and talking about imposter syndrome today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
A thank you to our audience, of course. We hope you gained some valuable insights or tips today from our conversation with Christine. If you are a leader who knows that leadership development and growth through coaching and consulting are key to your leadership journey, or you would like to learn more about our Rise Leadership program, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Lights Coaching and Business Services. And before you go, don't forget to grab this quarter's free leadership resource, Your Guide as a New Leader. It is designed to support your new leaders in the first few weeks, build credibility, gain trust, and set a strong foundation for leadership. The link will be in the episode summary. Until next time, please remember, leadership matters.